Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. You know what we are right now? 3 days away from Christmas morning. We're excited that today and then Christmas Eve, we have a chance to focus on that, worship the Lord, and looking forward to that. So we're glad you're here. We really are. And I'm going to ask if you will, just find someone next to you or maybe across the aisle and just say hello to them. Stand up with me, fellowship for just a minute, and greet one another. For the last few weeks, we've been doing our Advent reading. We want to do that again this morning with Miss Sandra reading. And after we light the candle, then we will have a word of prayer, okay? Sandra, go ahead.
This is the candle of love. On the fourth week of Advent, we light the love candle. This candle represents the love God demonstrated in sending his son to the world. Jesus came out of God's great love for humanity, fulfilling his promise to save us from sin and separation from the Father. 1 John chapter 4 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son." Lighting the love candle invites us to reflect on the love of God, who sent his only Son so that we might be saved. During this fourth week, we prepare our hearts to receive the love more fully, remembering that Christmas is ultimately a celebration of God's immense love for each of us. During this season, let us focus on God's love, allowing it to fill our hearts and overflow to others. Imagine how much brighter Christmas can be when we let that love guide our words, our actions, and relationships. This is the heart of Christmas, receiving God's love and sharing it in ways that bring hope, peace, and joy to all those around us.
All right. Thank you, Sandy and Sharon. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we want to thank you for giving us this opportunity again to worship you. We never want to take this for granted. Especially this time of year, Lord, we celebrate the fact that you loved us enough to send us your Son, whose birth we celebrate. And Jesus, thank you for coming. You walked among us. You taught us what it meant to be in relationship to God in a very personal way. You showed us the way we should live in relationship to God and in relationship to each other. And we worship you, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, guide us through our worship now. Empower us. Give us a wonderfully warm sense of your presence and of your peace as we give our worship to you. We pray these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. It's Jesus' birthday. Invite somebody Wednesday night. We start at 4:30, so come a little bit earlier than that. It's going to be a little more crowded than this, I'm hoping. But invite somebody. Say, well, I don't have the invite cards. You don't have to. Say, hey, if you're not going anywhere for Christmas Eve to church, come on to Grace Point. We're the church right next to Goodwill, right on Folly Road. I've got some good music is incredible. And John. If you'll invite them, there's a really good chance, 86% chance, statistics tell us, if you invite someone personally, there's a really good chance they'll show up. All right? It's Jesus' birthday. Let's invite some folks to the party. Good enough? Deal? All right, very good, very, very, very good. About this time of year, there's really only one word, I think, that can describe what we accomplished the first three weeks of December, and that word is madness. I mean, think about it. We cram 80% of all the parties we're going to have in a whole year into 3 weeks. Then we say, while we're at it, let's entirely redecorate our house inside and out. And since we've got plenty of time, let's buy something for everybody we've never met. Let's bake every cookie we've never heard of. And let's consume 3 times the number of calories that we would have consumed in 3 months. We're going to do it in just 3 weeks. Then to top it off, we're going to get a Christmas card and send it to everybody we've ever known in our whole life. And we do it all while the kids get out of school for 2.5 weeks. And then, oh yeah, all the new movies are out now, right? And they're telling us to take them to... It's just simply madness. Has anybody felt that way? Libby and I are still on Amazon last night going, will this come before Christmas? It can be maddening. So maybe this year, we can help Christmas be less full of madness and more full of that feeling you get when you come home from having been away for a while. My first year of college, I went to a college that was 8 hours away from where I lived in Baltimore. And I didn't think much about it. I was kind of glad to get going, you know, drive my little Volkswagen Beetle down there and everything's going good. And then I realized a lot of the people at my school must not have lived very far because they were leaving every weekend, going back home, get their mamas and daddies to wash their clothes and feed them. And every other weekend, some people would leave, but some of us who were 8 hours away never got a chance to leave. And finally, I got a chance to go home. Thanksgiving, drove home, and I'm going to tell you, the reunion, the homecoming was incredible. Everybody was glad to see me. I was glad to see everyone. And the food, oh my gosh, my granny could sure cook. It was nice going home after having been gone for a little while. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. Let's come home for Christmas. Christmas is about connecting with God. It's about having a relationship with God. There's a verse in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, if you have your bulletin, make sure you get the outline out. You can fill some stuff in as we go along. A verse in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12 that says this. God is speaking. This is God's words to us. And God says, come home to me again. One of the fundamental truths of this life is this. You belong to God. You weren't meant to belong to your job or belong to your career or to belong to things in the past that maybe even some things you regret. You were meant to belong to God because God made you. He created you. He knows everything about you. And he made you for the purpose of connecting with and coming home to him. God wants you to come home for Christmas, to come home to him. Folks, would you agree? Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz said it best. There's no place like home. It's true like that for us spiritually. There's no place like coming home to God at Christmas. So this Christmas, I want you to consider a different kind of homecoming, a spiritual homecoming, a coming home to God. Now, folks, it tends to be human nature from time to forget about God. Probably you have. I know I have sometimes. I get so caught up in what I'm doing, and I'm like, what's going on here? It happens to all of us. You may forget about God for a moment, for an hour, for a day, a week, months. Maybe even you haven't thought about God for years. We get distracted by our careers, by our families, by our dreams, our hopes, our finances, our debts. And sometimes we just forget about God. Maybe today it's time for you to come home to God. So let's talk about three different things to expect when you come home to God. The first one is this. Number one, when you come home to God, you can expect God's love and forgiveness. You can expect God's love and forgiveness. This is one of the great reasons to come home to him, because of his love and forgiveness. Jesus, when he was born, he left his home in heaven to come on down on this earth so we could get to know him, and that through him, we could have a personal relationship with God. God wants us to know that he loves us and that he wants to forgive us. Do you know what God wants you to come home to? It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, who you've done it with. It doesn't matter. All that stuff is irrelevant. God says, I want you to come home to my love and come home to my forgiveness. You may think, well, I've been away from God for so long, he wouldn't want me now, or I've never even been to God for the first time. He doesn't care about me. I'm too far away from him. I've been away too long. I've done too many things that he probably doesn't approve of. I'm too far separated from God to be brought back to him now. Listen, folks, if you believe that, I lovingly say you're dead wrong. You're absolutely wrong about that. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 39. The Apostle Paul writes this. Look, nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Would you substitute the word us for the word me? Nothing in all creation is able to separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Now separate, now put your specific name in there. Nothing in all creation is able to separate Kevin from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Did you separate in your mind your name? That's an incredible promise from God. I don't care who you are, what you've done, how long you've been away from God, how long you've done it. God says, I still love you. I still forgive you. And I want you to be with me now, this Christmas, and forever. But how do we know God loves us? Christmas proves it. There's a couple of verses here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says this, God showed how much he loved us. How? By sending his only son into the world so that we can have eternal life through him. This is real love. He sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Folks, when Jesus came into the world, he didn't stay in the little cradle in the manger. He grew up. He literally went from the cradle eventually, 33 years later, to the cross. And on the cross, with his arms stretched out, when they were literally nailing him to the cross, when he was being crucified, with his arms stretched out, he in essence was saying, I'd rather die than live without you. That's how much God loves us. Jesus said, I would rather give my life, I would rather be killed by these people than to live on without you. That's how much God loves you. That's how much God loves us. The greatest expression of love is Jesus Christ coming to earth at Christmas time. When God came to earth to show his love for us, to pay for our sins so that we could be forgiven, we could come home to him, that, folks, that is real love. Love came down at Christmas. And that's the first thing you can expect if you come home to God at Christmas time. You can expect to receive his love and forgiveness. I dare say all of us need to experience God's love and forgiveness in a variety of different ways. Christmas allows you to experience that. That's why Jesus came. Secondly, when you come home to God for Christmas, you will also take part in his peace and strength. Peace when things get chaotic in your life, and strength when you feel like you don't have the energy to go on any longer. How do you handle situations like that? When you face an uncertain future, when you face tough times, which inevitably you're going to face in life, has anybody noticed life isn't all roses all the time? Does anybody identify with that? It's not all good times. Where do you go for strength? Where do you get that reservoir of power, of peace, that gives you the ability to go on in the middle of the chaos or a crisis or a tragedy or something that saps all the energy from your life? Where do you go for that? Where do you go for that strength? Where do you go for that peace in your life? Where do you go if you get peace, or where do you go to get that strength if you're not connected to God? Some people say, well, I just depend on my own energy. How long does that last? I can wipe you out in less than a day. And if you had a week like that, it can wipe you out for, could take you away for a whole month or more. You're going to run out of energy, folks. Because human energy always runs out. Now, some people don't want us to believe that. Anybody here ever had an energy drink? You know those little pill-looking bottle things you get at the gas station? Man, I see people walk out of there with a dozen of those. And I'm like, if it really works, why do you need a dozen? There are 190 brands of energy drink, and they make over 500 different kinds. They even get real specific. If you need energy for this, get this one. If you need it, you know what most of the ingredients in that are, right? Caffeine. That'll get you going for an hour or two. Maybe that night you can't sleep. Where do you go to get your energy? Where do you go to get your peace, your strength, if you don't have God in your life? Jesus has an incredible offer for you and for me. Jesus said this. It's a direct quote in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He said, hey, if you're tired, put your name in there. Hey, Kevin, if you're tired, from carrying heavy burdens, I would say we all say amen to that. We've been there. And if we're tired from carrying heavy burdens, Jesus said, okay, come to me. Look, I will give you rest. I will give you rest for your soul. Soul rest. I like that. Because it says the exact opposite of what most people think that God would tell them. Sometimes people think that if God wants me to come to him, he's going to say, hey, come home to me, and I'm going to give you rules. Some people think God is a regulation man. Come on to me. I'll give you rules and regulations, restrictions, religion, rituals. Come on home. That's not who God is. That's not how he revealed himself to us through his son, Jesus. God doesn't say any of those things. He says, come home to me and I will give you rest. I don't know what kind of deals you got on Christmas time. You've been to Walmart, Amazon. I don't know what kind of deals you've been getting. I don't know any better deal than this. We get to bring our tired, restless selves home to God. He says, I'll take that, and I'm going to give you rest. In your mind, your soul, your heart, I'm going to give you rest. The story is told of a dog that went from the owner's house over to the neighbor's house, and they must have been friends. They're very, you know, good neighbors, and somehow got into the sliding glass door where the little boy was, and the dog went there next to the boy and fell asleep and slept there for 4 hours. Finally, the dog woke up and went back home. Buster was the dog's name. Buster came back the next day, lay down there where that little boy was, and slept for another 4 hours. This happened on 3 days, and then finally the third day, the mom said, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. So she tagged a little note around Buster's collar and said, hey, what's going on? Your dog's coming over here taking naps 4 hours at a time. And the Buster came back the next day with a little tag that said, well, we've had another baby. You know, we have twin two-year-olds, and my mother-in-law's staying with us. Can I come over with Buster and take a rest? God says, I'll give you rest. How can God give us rest? We can relax when we stop depending upon our own energy and start depending upon God to help us out. And all of a sudden, you get plugged into the power source, and you're not on your own anymore. One of the reasons we stay so tired all the time, we stay fatigued all the time, because we stress out trying to live life on our own power, by our own means. And we just can't do it successfully all the time. And God looks down and he says, hey, I want a relationship with you. This is why I gave you my son Jesus. This is why I allowed him to be birthed on the earth. I want a relationship with you. I made you. I want my power to flow through you and my peace to flow through you on a regular basis, not just at Christmas time, all the time. Look at this verse out of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 29. It says, he, and they're talking about God, he, God, gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak. When we get tired and worn out, God says, I'll give you some more strength. I'll give it to you. And then in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul said this, God will strengthen you with his own great power so that you will not give up when troubles come. Think about the power of God. He says with his own power, God will give it to you from his own great power. God is the one who created something out of nothing. There was a point in time when it was only God, and he's the one literally that spoke into existence what we know now. He set the planets up. He created the heavens and the stars. Somewhere down the line, he made the animals. And lo and behold, he decided to make a human being. Folks, I think that's pretty sure it's something only God could do. Because of his power. Have you ever felt like giving up? Maybe you feel like giving up on a relationship. Maybe your marriage. Or maybe wondering if you'll ever be able to marry again. Maybe you feel like giving up on hope for your career. You should have been promoted and you weren't. Or you're just not happy anymore. You realize your company, the people for whom you work, are downsizing and you might be next in line. Or you feel like giving up hope on your health, because at some point in time, all of us, even the healthiest of us, will go through a time physically when we're not healthy any longer. And maybe it's the kind of problem physically or mentally where you're really not going to get better, and you just have to deal with it day by day, moment by moment. You ever feel like giving up on the dreams you had for your kids, or even they feel like giving up because they had dreams and things just aren't going right for them, and all of a sudden there's no power to go on, there's no hope? Maybe there's a habit in your life that you talk about stopping but you don't, and you mean to stop but you can't. Maybe you're just discouraged by some other type of situation in your life that you've tried to fix, and every time you try it gets worse, and you feel like giving up. Now that last 2.5 minutes of what I said is kind of a downer. The good news is maybe that's why God brought you here today. It's not by accident. He brought you here today so he could say this to you: don't give up, look up. This is what God wants to do for us, to us, with us, through us. We want to be plugged into God because he has all the power necessary for us. He wants us to plug into the source, and he's the source. This, my friends, this is the good news. God doesn't just love you. He wants to help you. It'd be great if we could just say God loves me and he forgives me of my sins. That alone would be worth it. But God says, I not only love you, I want to help you while you're down here now. And I've got all the power you will ever need. It's amazing to me that we often look to everything else but God to help us. And we look to everything else but God to find peace of mind for ourselves. I typed in the phrase peace of mind into the computer. And I found some interesting results. What the internet had to offer me about peace of mind. So one of the things that came up was the peace of mind funeral services. I'm thinking, do I have to die to have peace? I can't have peace of mind on this side of eternity. Another one came up. It said, it was a store selling candles and crystals and body soaps. Great, my marriage is falling apart. I'll go take a bath. I need a little bit more than candles and crystals to give me peace of mind. And another one, I don't understand how this came up at all. I do not. But under the same search, there was a plumbing warranty plan. Peace of mind, plumbing. What's going on here? I know, I'll get peace of mind. I'll insure my toilet. Folks, if you're feeling a little bit down, or you've been down, or you're feeling anxious or fatigued or worried, let me suggest to you that the remedy is that you come home to God. The one who made you, who created you, who's watched every moment of your life, who saw you take your first breath, who saw you before then, even formed in your mother's womb, who knows everything about you and still loves you and forgives you, and he says, come home to me, and I will give you peace, and I will give you strength. When you do that, you begin to have the peace of mind that God wants you to have. Look what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. When you lie down, then you won't be afraid. You will sleep in peace, and you won't worry about sudden disaster. Folks, if we need a verse, that's a verse we need right now. You won't be afraid. You'll sleep in peace. You won't worry about a sudden hidden disaster that could come your way. You can come home to God's peace and God's strength. So when you come home to God at Christmas, you can expect to come home to his love and forgiveness, his peace and strength. And number three, you can also come home to God's hope and joy. You come home to God's hope and joy. Hope when your situations seem hopeless in life, and joy when you feel grief or sadness or depression. We need God's hope and God's joy. Paul said this in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Circle the words hope, joy, and peace, and then draw a line over to the word trust, because all three of those come from trusting God. When you trust God, you have hope, you have joy, and you have peace. The more I trust God, the more my life is filled with his joy. The more I trust God, the more my life is filled with his peace. The more I trust God, the more my life is filled with his hope. Folks, God's forgiveness takes care of our past. All of the things we've ever done wrong, they're forgiven, they're washed away, they're cleansed, they are taken out of God's memory. We can, on this side of heaven, we can remember them, but when God says, I forgive you, he totally forgets. He cannot remember anymore. If you ever ask God to forgive you of something and you go back to God the next day, the next week, and say, God, you remember what I did? He's going to look at you and say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Come on, God, you're God. You know what I said. No, I really don't. Because when he forgets, he forgets. Gone from his mind. God's peace gives us strength in the present. God's purpose and plan for our lives gives us hope for the future. What a deal, folks. We get our past dealt with, our present dealt with, and our future dealt with when we come home to God. I don't know what you've been through this past year. May have been a very tough year for you personally. You may have had a ground zero experience in your life. You may still be reeling from it, from the tension, from the pressure, from the stress, and the, of grief. And God, I want you to know, folks, God is not finished with you. As long as you have breath on this side of heaven, God isn't finished with you. That gives us hope. If your heart is still beating, if you're still taking a breath, God still has plans for you. Look at this verse from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. It says, stop your crying. Wipe away your tears. There is hope for your future. That's encouraging to know. God has a plan for each day that we live. We can either choose God's plan or reject it. If we reject it, we're going to have more problems than normal. Or we can choose it and hope that God will give us all the strength he promised us to make it through. It doesn't mean you have great times going forward. We're not going to have great times all the time, not down here. But it is a promise that God is going to be with you when you go through those times. And God actually wants the rest of your life to be the best of your life, not because things are always going to work out great. You very well may not win that lottery. But he's going to take care of you. He's going to give you that peace that you know. And one day when statistically we all have to face the same thing, taxes and death, right? Can't get away from that. One day when you die, one day when I take my last breath and I'm done physically, that's only the beginning of my time in eternity with God. He's even solved that problem. Why did Christ come at Christmas? Because he didn't want to love you from a distance. He wanted to love you up close and personal, so he came down here to be with us. God with us through his son Jesus. Folks, there are some things you can only do up close and personal. You want to give somebody a hug? You get close and personal. You ever see people that hug like this? That's not how God hugs. God wanted to be up close and personal with us. So today, as I share this message with you, I'm not inviting you to come home to church. I'm inviting you to come home to a person who made you and who loves you, who sent his son to die for you. I'm inviting you to come home to God. Now, what I've shared with you the last few minutes has been nothing theologically complex. It's not hard to understand. Any 5-year-old can understand what I've talked about. Coming home to God, to his love and to his forgiveness, to his peace and to his strength, to his hope and to his love. And the real bottom line is, are you going to take that small step of faith this Christmas to come home to God? Or are you going to let it bypass you another year and continue on to live life the way you've lived it, struggling, hoping that something will give you some relief and some rest? Well, I'm sharing with you who that someone is. What's even more amazing is this. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. We throw open our doors to God and we discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We throw open our doors to God. We discover at the same moment he's already thrown his doors open to us. Folks, Jesus Christ is here. He's ready to accept you. All you need to do is accept him. Now, I can't think of one reasonable, logical, sane reason to delay coming home with God. Why would you put it off? Something that God, all of what I talked about that God can give you, that he's promised you, why would you put that off? It doesn't make any sense to me. No, no, God, I know you love me. I know you made me. I know you can do these things for me. I know why you sent Jesus. I can get forgiveness. I get all that. But you know what, God? I'm just going to wait. It's like getting a Christmas present. You take the box and you just set it over here. I'm going to open it one day. I'm just going to wait. Why? Why would you take the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, and say, I'm going to deal with him someday, one day? Makes no sense. He's here right now. Right now. As a matter of fact, look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2. Right now, God is ready to welcome you. Right now, today, he's ready to save you. He will welcome you and save you right now. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I don't care if you're a religious person or non-religious. I don't care if you're from a Catholic background or a Protestant background. It doesn't matter to me if you're Jewish, Buddhist, or you have absolutely no religion whatsoever. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about connecting with God. I would rather you connect with God today, right now, and never come back to this church. That would be fine with me. What's important is that you connect with God. Now, if you connect with God, you're welcome back here. That's not the reason I'm sharing this with you. All you need to do is say, God, I want to come home to you. I want you to make your home in my heart. Because, God, I realize I'm here for more than just my 10, 20, 80, 50, 90, 60, however many years, God. I want more for my life than that. Disney did a project years ago. It was called Leave a Legacy Project. You may have heard of it. The Leave a Legacy Project, the Stones, started as part of Walt Disney World's Millennial Celebration, which ran from October 1st, 1999 to January 1st, 2001. And from that time until June 2007, when sales ended, you could purchase small messages or photos that would be etched in metal and displayed on large stones at the Epcot entrance. They made 30 granite monoliths accommodating 750,000, three-quarters of a million people. If you wanted your face or you and your wife or family, or you could write something there, they would take it, they would put it on this monolith, and it was going to be there forever. It's part of how you could leave your legacy. Sounds pretty cool. Man, well, you know, you'd spend about $50, and you're one of what would have been 750,000 other people who left that small legacy. So when you walked into Disney World, they would tell you where yours was. You'd go to this monolith, you'd go down here, and there you were. You could find, this is me, look, I'm here. I'm in granite. It's not going anywhere. And you thought, wow, that's so cool. I just did something incredible. But it didn't last, because Disney is now moving them. Picking them up, putting them there somewhere else. And if I'd paid that money and I was told this is my legacy, God could do something here, and now they're moving me to some part of the park that no one would ever see, I'd feel ripped off. I want my $50 back and my picture. Folks, if you want a legacy, a lasting legacy, when you are gone from this earth, don't go to Disney. Come home to God this Christmas. When you come home to God this Christmas or any time, you have a new life here on earth and for all eternity when you die one day. You will have an eternal legacy with God that will never end. And I encourage you to start that eternal legacy now by receiving Jesus into your heart if you've never done that. When you do that, God will give you life and love and forgiveness and peace and strength and hope and joy. Maybe you're here today and you need to commit yourself to Christ for the very first time. You've never said, God, I need you in my life. You've never said, Jesus, this is why you came to die on the cross so my sins could be forgiven. You've never understood that and you've never done it. What a better time to say for the very first time, Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Forgive me. I want to trade my life for the life you want to give me. Forgive me for my sins, Jesus. Take control of my life. You say, well, I don't know all of what that means. I don't know all it means either. But I do know that when you ask Jesus into your heart, he comes because the Bible said that, and I trust what the Bible says. Maybe you need to ask Jesus into your heart for the very first time. Maybe you're here and you did that a year ago or 5 years ago or 40 years ago. But you've kind of grown cold or you've kind of walked away and you're not really walking with him. The good news about God and his love and coming home to him is even when you're his child and you walk away from him, he says, I'm still here. Come on back. You don't have to be saved again. You only have to be saved once. You accept Jesus into your heart and mind once. But there are many times you've got to come back to him because we tend to get away from him. And how do you do that? You just come back and say, God, I'm sorry. I've walked away. I haven't been doing what you want me to do. God, forgive me. And you know what? His arms are just like this, waiting for you to come in, waiting for you to come back. Say, God, forgive me. Maybe you're here and you've made a commitment to Christ, but you've never been baptized. What a great Christmas present you can give yourself and others just to say, you know what? I know I'm a believer. And baptism doesn't save me, but it's a good symbol of the fact that I am saved. Maybe it's time to be baptized. We'll baptize you on Christmas Eve if you want. We'll be glad. Didn't we have baptism? Was it a week or two ago, wasn't it? We had baptism. We love to baptize. Let us know. Maybe today you need to go over to the cross. Over there by the table where the cross is, this is a place where people go sometimes, first of all, just to write down a prayer request for themselves or for others. And they put it on paper, and then they just fold it in half, and they put it to the cross right there. It's just one way, symbolically, that you're saying, God, this is out of my hands. I place this in your hands. Some of you, matter of fact, all of you who got a bulletin should have received a Connect card, just like this. Maybe there's a prayer request you want to put on the back, and you can say, pastors, will you pray for this? And we do. This goes nowhere. No one sees this but the pastors. So you can write what your prayer request is, or you can use the boxes to say, hey, this is what I want. I made a decision to follow Christ, or update my, anything you want here, put it on here. And then when the service is closing or during the response time, there's white boxes around the church. You can put these in there, and the pastors will get those, and we will pray for you. Maybe today you want to take the Lord's Supper. You want to participate in remembering Jesus in a special way. Again, around the sanctuary, we have places you can go to receive communion and thank God, thank Jesus that he came to lovingly die for you. Whatever it takes for you, won't you come home this Christmas? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you sent your son Jesus to come into the world so we could know you, so we could be forgiven once and for all and sometimes over and over again. Thank you that through your son Jesus, we can come home to you this Christmas, today. Actually, any day, Lord, we can come home to you. Thank you for receiving us, for forgiving us, for cleansing us of our sins. Thank you for giving us hope and joy and peace and strength that we need when we come home to you. And I want to pray now, Father, for all of us who are here today, in whatever way you have spoken to us through this message, through the music, how you've been speaking to us long before we got here, may we respond to you the way you want us to. So have your way and your will done, Lord, during our time of response. We pray these things together through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Couple of things now. Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon, 4:30. I know we have cards in the back, right, Lori? Do we have anybody handing those out back? Don't worry about it. You don't have to get up there. If our ushers, Alan, were you guys ushering today? who is our, Steve, who are us? Oh, it's Jay and Charlotte. Where, if you guys can kind of beat everybody to the back and just kind of hand them out a little card as they go, that would be awesome. We want to get all those out. And that's tomorrow at Tuesday at 4:30. So don't miss out on that. Disciple Now, there's also an insert in your bulletin about Disciple Now. That is going to be the 16th through 19th. If you and need to know more about that, please contact. We love Disciple Now weekend. It's coming up. All right. We had some work done out there. There's some, actually, this is a first time announcement ever, Kevin. If you need some firewood out here by this side, yes, just grab some on the way home, right? There you go for Christmas. All right. And Lori has a little presentation, I think, coming up here. Maybe the ladies. Uh-oh. And so, Jason, you ready for this? I don't know. Is he going to sing? Oh.
Yes.
And Pastor John, Pastor Jason, please. It's this special time of year again. And we are just so blessed to have the pastors that we have here at Grace Point. We love each one of them. Every one of them are special. And we know that all we have to do, I mean, it's so easy to get in touch with them through a text, an email, a phone call, and they'll be right there and they'll answer you. And we are blessed that they are leading this church under God. They walk their talk, and that's what I love about each one of them. I think we're very blessed, and we have a little gift for each one of them. Let's see. This is Pastor Kevin over here. I'll give you that. And Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Well, thank you, the whole church. Thank you for that. And this is the time of the year where giving and is such an important part. I know coming home, the word home is not just a location, but it's a feeling. It's knowing that you're with people that love you. And I know that's what we have right here at Grace Point. So thank you, folks, for that. All right. Oh, amen. Hey, have a great couple of days. We'll see you back here Tuesday afternoon, 4:30, for a great time and celebration. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this wonderful family that we experience right here each Sunday, right here at Grace Point. Thank you for the love that we feel as we come home each week to worship you and your house, Lord. Help us as we go to our homes now to share that love, to invite folks to come out for this Christmas Eve celebration. Lord, we love you and thank you for what it's all about. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.